Welcome back to Yang Daily. I'll be your host, Alex Cheney, bringing you all the Yang news you need to live your life right. We have quite a lot to go through today, some of it catching up on backlog from earlier in the week. We better get to it. Shout out to our Tier 3 patrons, Peter Park, Shane Meehan, and Nathan Stankowski, as well as all our other patrons. Did you notice an extra name in there? That's because Nathan's been a donor for a long time, but upgraded himself to Tier 3 just recently. Thank you so much, Nathan. It means a lot that, after all this time and how chaotic my scheduling gets at times, you're willing to double down on saving this podcast at this point. Super appreciate you and everyone else who is helping to make this happen. And that's not all. Another very special shout out to our brand new patron, Lara. Or Lara? Or Laura? I'm not quite sure. Shoot me a message and let me know. She was also kind enough to point out to me that apparently Google Podcasts has been cutting off the last seconds of each episode. How long has this been going on? Ridiculous. Thank you, Lara. I will leave a bit of dead space at the end to fix that issue. If anyone out there wants to join these advocates of humanity first and independent journalism, head over to patreon.com/yangdaily. It would only take a couple of bucks a month from each listener to keep this podcast and community going and growing. The Senate passed their veto override on the defense policy slash spending bill, pushing it through against Trump's wishes and those who sought to hold up the bill to force a vote on cash relief. The populist wings of both parties are expressing outrage that the Senate can pass military spending, but not economic relief for the people. Ultimately, both parties are passing the bill primarily because they fear being labeled as anti-military if they oppose it. And of course, both sides have major donors in the military-industrial complex. The American people could do with similar representation, but that would require public campaign finance. You can find a list of all dissenting senators to the defense bill in the links below. Scott pointed out an interesting Twitter thread where Rob Steinernomics lays out his argument for why the U.S. can support a $6 trillion deficit before reaching any significant inflation pressures. It's couched in the highest U.S. deficit in history, which was almost 5 times the current deficit to GDP ratio of today, and accounts for the big differences between today and then. It's no doubt oversimplified, but worth a read. Also worth noting that we could support a $2,000 UBI for that amount, and that it doesn't even factor in the GDP growth that would result. This argument says that we could afford that UBI even if it didn't massively grow the economy, as we know from trials that it actually would. Check out the full thread in the podcast description links. Mike Pence, Vice President of the United States, expressed support on Saturday for a blatant intent by Republican senators to reject democracy next week. 11 Republican senators and senators-elect said that they will vote to reject electoral votes from battleground states in which the GOP lost, when the House and Senate meet to formally certify them. But neither Pence nor any of the senators have made any specific allegations of fraud, instead offering vague insinuations that some wrongdoing may have occurred, and asserting that many of their supporters believe it has, as though that means anything other than that the GOP has become the party of conspiracy theorists and the antithesis of the constitutional conservatism it once represented. The attempt to deny Biden's victory has no chance of succeeding, as both houses of Congress would have to ratify it. The senators claim they are opposing the people's will to advocate for an audit of the election process in the states in which they lost, as though they haven't already launched and lost dozens of recounts, 60 lawsuits, and a DOJ investigation already. The truth is that they are undermining the democratic process, strengthening the move toward autocracy in America, and putting their political career over their oath to uphold the Constitution in order to curry favor with Trump voters. Oh, and remember Josh Hawley, Republican champion of stimulus checks? He's leading the charge on this, along with Ted Cruz. It's another point of severe contention in the Republican Party as Civil War battle lines have been drawn. McConnell has been pleading with Republican senators not to take this action out of self-interest in maintaining his position of power. Senator Ben Sasse called it a dangerous ploy intended to disenfranchise millions of Americans. Toomey says they are directly undermining the right of the people to elect their own leaders. Murkowski said she will uphold the election results because she swore an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. Nice of someone to remember that. Most remaining GOP voters are simply deluded, but these congressmen are clear-headed traitors. And it goes on. Friday, a federal judge dismissed a lawsuit brought by House Republicans to pressure Pence to unilaterally elect the president. Remember when we talked about how the GOP might push to send illegitimate electors to Congress against the will of the people? That's exactly what this lawsuit was about. Republican electors in Arizona sued Mike Pence because he hadn't agreed to throw out Biden's electors and choose Trump's in states where Biden won. Yes, the GOP has really become that deranged. They're straight up arguing that the vice president should be allowed to select the next president against the will of the people. What do you even say about this? It's treason in spirit, if not in definition. This is insane. The judge threw the case out, obviously, both because they had no evidence that the electoral results in Arizona should go to Trump, and because they are clearly suing someone who has nothing to do with that. But Trump, of course, can outdo them all, as he's the one who's been championing the overthrow of democracy from the start, partly in an attempt to install himself as dictator and partly to excuse his loss. In the latest development, Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger recorded a phone conversation with Trump and released it to the media. In the tape, Trump urges Raffensperger to support his conspiracy theories of voter fraud, prompting him to adopt one of any number of rumors and run with it. It culminates in Trump outright asking the Secretary of State to find enough votes for him to win the election. Quote, "I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one more than we have." End quote. He goes on to subtly threaten Raffensperger, saying that his chances of winning re-election are not good if he does not swing the election in Trump's favor. Incredibly, it's almost an exact replica of the quid pro quo crime for which Trump was previously impeached. Only this time, he's asking for the additional crime of defrauding an American election. For a president to be on tape asking for anything like this is unprecedented in American history and worthy of a second impeachment, if not worse. Meanwhile, another conspiracy theory adopted by the Republican Party is literally killing them at record pace. Just yesterday, not one but two Republican congressmen died after testing positive for COVID, Mike Reese and Ben Chafin. This is in addition to Luke Letlow, who died just days before. You may recall Letlow was only 41 years old. Well, Reese was 42. Almost all state and federal legislators that have died of COVID have been Republicans, but the one exception that I know of, Democratic Michigan Representative Isaac Robinson, was 44 years old. For all the talk of how the virus is only dangerous to people over 60, our political leaders seem not to have gotten that memo. How many would it take for the GOP to take this pandemic seriously? How many to stop the death cult that harms not just them, but all of us? Moving on, Ching Jewell has been working on a documentary covering Yang's presidential campaign that she plans to air on Monday. She'll be hosting a YouTube watch party and a Zoom Q&A afterward. But that's not all. Monica Gara has also released her own documentary of the Yang campaign. Quite a wealth of memories. Links below. Crystal Ball and Kyle Kulinski have announced they are starting a new joint podcast, so that's a thing. A good thing? I guess we'll find out. Apparently, they've already mentioned Yang multiple times, and he responded that he would be visiting soon. The dropped mantle of the Yang Daily 10 has been picked up by a new Twitter account called UBI Daily 5. This account gives a new task every day that you can perform to help advance the cause of UBI in under 5 minutes. And today's task is to retweet the launch of Forward Growth for America. What's that, you ask? It's a new branch of Humanity First springing up in colleges across America. Founded by a fan of Humanity Forward, the movement for forward-thinking college students strives to eliminate poverty, reform the criminal justice system, and strengthen democracy. If you want to sign up to create a chapter in your college, or to check out the founder's interview with Boyce Littlefield, follow the link below. Either way, give them a follow and spread the word. If you want citizens who will advocate for data-driven humanitarian policy, start young. Finally, we're heading into the last couple days before America's fate will be decided in the Georgia runoffs. There has never been a more important time to volunteer. I fear we may all spend the rest of our lives wishing that we had done more. Do your future self a favor and visit Ossoff, Warnock, or the Math Movement in the links below, and do all you can before January 6th to put the country on the path to recovery, progress, and UBI. To be blunt, all our butts are on the line. And that'll do it for today's Yang Daily. Bookmark and share the deficit thread, the GOP attempts at treason, Trump's tape, the scourge of GOP deaths, the UBI Daily 5, and Forward Growth for America. Check out the Yang Gang documentaries. Pitch in as much as you can for the final days of the runoffs. Don't forget to put in your half hour a day of phone banking or text banking to support the efforts in Georgia. If you need help, consult Humanity Forward, the Income Movement Aid Database, the Mission Asset Fund, or United Way. And don't forget to Yang Daily.